This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Football Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together live for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time on a Football Friday. Week number 3 of the NFL preseason kicking off last night on a Thursday. It's the third and final week of preseason action. We saw some starters last night in Cincinnati. We'll break down the second preseason game of this summer for the Colts' Anthony Richardson. And we saw some reserves in the place that we will start the regular season of the National Football League last night in Arrowhead between the Chiefs and the Bears. We'll go all around Major League Baseball, a 10-game Thursday slate setting up the weekend. And let's make sure everybody can see the shirt, DRS. What does it read? College football.
Ledgefoot.
Period.
Ledgefoot.
No.
Ledgefoot.
No, it does not. Let's go back to it. Mute his mic because we can't ruin this moment. It reads college football, period. Because tomorrow is the start of the 2024 college football season. The Irish opener and the Dublin debut between 10th-ranked Florida State and Georgia Tech will get you set for all the sweeping changes in the college football landscape in 2024 in the Week 0 Saturday slate that comes our way in just over 24 hours. Now, Donnie Wrightside, you can say whatever you would like.
Yeah, I'm glad football season is here. I'm glad it's week 0 in college football. I'm glad we're finally going to be done with week 3 here of the preseason. In less than 2 weeks, we're going to be kicking off on a Thursday night in Kansas City because I can't watch my Philadelphia Phillies anymore. I want to remove them from the conversation. And if they're still there at the end of September into October, then I'm going to watch again. But the vibes are high here. If you watched yesterday, we told you, right? Colts going to win that game. They got to play some starters. The Bears got better backups than Kansas City. Both of those games. And how about the points, Ben? 27-14 and 34-21. We're seeing some points in the final week of the preseason. I am ready for football. We are ready for football. Let's get after it.
Yes, we certainly are. We'll get to Donnie's Phillies in just a moment. But Donnie's Eagles, Howie Roseman, continues to cook this offseason now into the preseason as well. All right, so let's go back to the two games that we saw yesterday. First, inside Arrowhead, the Chicago Bears putting up some points and winning big, 34-21 over the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bears were a 1.5-point road favorite in Arrowhead, a total of 31. And a half skies over. The Bears complete a perfect preseason with a 4-0 mark that included the victory to start this football year off in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, we're going to go over these two games. I just want to say, if maybe you were saying to yourself, let me just watch a drive or two from the Colts, you're like, ooh, man, things are looking good. But if you stayed until the second quarter, ooh, more questions pop up whether or not Anthony Richardson is going to be ready this year. Because, Ben, you talked about it earlier this week, bringing up the conversations about practices with the Bengals and the taunting going over for Richardson. He had a great first drive, but left a little bit of things to be desired here the rest of the way there. So we got a lot of good topics to hit, including that game. But they did win the preseason game, so at least there's that.
So the Bears, a perfect 4-0 in preseason. They went on the road. Tyson Bagent, only a couple of series. A backup battle for the third string spot at the quarterback position, it would seem, in the Windy City between the rookie Austin Reed and the veteran Brett Rypien. The Bears, a perfect 4-0 in the preseason. The Colts get a win in Cincinnati, 27-14. As DRS alluded to, we learned yesterday that Anthony Richardson and the starting offense for the Colts needed to find their synergy. It looked good early. Five possessions for AR. A touchdown toss on his first, but then an INT pick six on his second, and some struggles for the offense the rest of the way. Anthony Richardson and that starting O for Indy played well into the second quarter. Elsewhere around the National Football League, outside of preseason action, a rare in-division trade where the Eagles' offense, after a great offseason, has only gotten better. They acquired Jahan Dotson in a deal with the Washington Commanders. A fifth rounder and Dotson make their way to Philadelphia. In return, the Birds send back to the Commanders a third round pick and two seventh rounders in 2025. The Commanders helping out a divisional foe, DRS. What's good with this deal, and how excited are you for Philly to add Jahan Dotson to that wide receiver core?
It's a great move because it wasn't one of those where you're just going to get a wide receiver because you have a plethora. Now, we understand the Eagles have a great wide receiver core already, but the question marks on wide receiver three have really jumped up. Paris Campbell injured. You bring Ross off basically the scrap heap to try to get him involved. He's got a concussion. Johnny Wilson out of Florida State sitting out with a concussion. So it felt like the Eagles knew they needed to make an upgrade and were able to do that. This is such a high upside move. Low cap hit here. See if it's going to work out. Sure. This Philadelphia Eagles skill position, the best I've ever seen in my lifetime. That includes Donovan McNabb, Terrell Owens, and Brian Westbrook from the early 2000s. There's no weak link. Dominant tight end, dominant running back, great quarterback, dominant wide receivers. I've never seen this before. So the excitement level certainly ramping up. And it is interesting that it's an interdivision trade. Last time there was an interdivision trade with the Eagles and Washington, it was to dump Donovan McNabb off down in Washington to sort of help ruin their franchise. So maybe the Eagles will go 2-0 with trades with Washington here. We'll find out.
I don't mean to, well, actually you, but actually the last time there was an in-division trade between Washington and Philadelphia, the 2024 NFL draft back in April, the Commanders allowed the Eagles to move up in the second round to get our guy, the future, the hope, Cooper DeJean for Philadelphia. So Washington continues to help the Eagles this offseason.
A big new not a safety.
Not a safety. Not at all. Not at all. A big deal yesterday in Kansas City for the big man that anchors the O-line. That's Creed Humphrey, the center who has been great for KC in his NFL career, signing a four-year, $72 million extension. Creed Humphrey now the highest paid center in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah, creative headline there, by the way, too. Take me higher. That's pretty good stuff. You're out of Creed. Creed did get paid, and he deserves to be paid. Look, if you are the centerpiece of that offense, and that offense moves, he's the quarterback of the offensive line. Well-deserved for Creed Humphrey, no doubt.
That is a very good headline. It's a Creed Friday now, live right here on the early line. Creed Humphrey has been a Pro Bowler each of his past 2 years. Actually finished third in the Offensive Rookie of the Year voting 3 years ago in 2021 out of Oklahoma. A center, third, and Offensive Rookie of the Year. That shows his prestige. Now around Major League Baseball, Aaron Judge continues to hit the long ball. His MLB leading 48th home run yesterday in the series finale and the rubber match against the Guardians. Giancarlo Stanton has a three-run blast as well. Gerrit Cole, six innings of shutout work, and the Yankees get a victory over Cleveland.
How about that, too? Austin Wells chimed in with an RBI as well for those Yanks. Somebody told you to play that bad boy right here on the early line yesterday. Great win for the Yankees. Yeah. And this is what the Guardians are. You're going to have your ups. You're going to have your downs. And right now, sometimes it feels like more downs than ups as of late for them.
DRS's guy yesterday delivering for the New York Mets. Yep. Jesse Winker, an RBI triple, and Mark Vientos adds in three ribbies as Luis Severino outduels Dylan Cease. And the Mets went outright on the road as a slight underdog in the opener in San Diego of a four-game weekend set 8-3.
Shocker, going up against a better pitcher than you held on the mound for the Mets and also traveling 3,000 miles to meet San Diego's been playing good baseball as of late. That's back-to-back drubbings for the Padres. Can they wake up and get out of that funk today?
We shall see elsewhere on the West Coast, but up in the Pacific Northwest, as the Mariners slide in the American League West, back by 5.5 games of Houston, Scott Service, the manager in the Northwest, fired by the Mariners yesterday.
Maybe Rob Thompson will join him shortly for the Phillies. I think the Mariners are the Phillies and the Phillies are the Mariners right now. I'm so upset I can't even get by. Like, I can't watch it anymore. I can't deal with it. We'll leave it there.
We will talk more about that in just a little bit. Kirk Ferentz at the podium yesterday admitting his wrongdoing and the mistake he made, which has led to his one-game suspension to start the season for Iowa next Saturday against Illinois State. It will be the first game for the Iowa football program without Kirk Ferentz as the head coach since November 21st, 1998. More around NFL preseason week 3 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The start of preseason week number 3 around the National Football League. Again, if you are a preseason hater, in certain spots you will not love the brand of football that will be played this final weekend of the NFL preseason. But if you are a hater, rejoice, because we are now less than 2 weeks away from the actual start of the NFL regular season, an AFC Championship game rematch in Arrowhead between the Chiefs and the Ravens. That was 2 weeks from last night, so the countdown continues. Although, Donnie, to start week 3 of the NFL preseason, a rarity in one spot in Cincinnati, we saw the starting offense, not for the Bengals, but for the Indianapolis Colts out there for a quarter and a half, which is what we had heard from Shane Steichen entering Indy's preseason finale. And it was a mixed bag. You saw some good of what Anthony Richardson can do, and then you saw some bad of how this offense for Indy looks a little bit out of sync entering the regular season. Regardless, at the end of the day, the Colts pick up a 27-14 victory over Cincy. Indianapolis covers as a 6.5-point favorite. The total of 34 and a hook skies over because of a late rushing touchdown for Indianapolis in the final 2 minutes. We'll talk about AR in just a moment, but the Colts end the preseason with a win.
Now, let me ask you this question, Ben, here, because we are going to get to Anthony Richardson. I watched that entire first quarter well into the second quarter because I wanted to watch to see how he will do. But also, do you know what caught my attention more than anything in this football game? Can you guess?
No. Oh, yes, I do know what it was. I saw your tweet last night. It was the Guardian cap of Jonathan Taylor that he was wearing over his regular helmet. Go ahead, though.
I'm going to the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Under touchdowns, under yardage, under usage rate for Jonathan Taylor. I mean, look, there's something to be said in this world where look good, play good. That can't be a real thing. And I'm telling you right now, if I am a defender, I'm just going to rip that soft piece helmet off every single play just to let him know how terrible it looks. I understand you don't want to have your mind turned into mush here by taking too many hits. I get the understanding. But it is such, and again, we probably can't bring it up. It's such a bad look that sometimes, Ben, I can't even focus on the game because I try to put myself into it and say, well, I mean, you can sort of see it to the right, but not really good. Like that blends in there. But if you watch the game itself, it's like jarring for me because I always took pride in how that uniform looked. I can't believe that players are actually wearing it. Just improve the helmet. Why do we have to have that thing over top of the helmet? It shouldn't be that hard, but I wanted to get that out of the way. Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor, don't you dare try to lobby the NFL to be able to wear that in a regular season game. It's fine for preseason. Well, it's fine for practice. I can't. Look at it. Look at that thing. No, that can't. Yeah. Like, that's not Photoshop. Right there, if you're watching on TV, that is not Photoshop. That can't be a real thing. I'm sorry.
So, Donnie, it's actually new this year, right? We have seen the Guardian cap throughout practice and training camp the last few seasons around the National Football League. But new this year, players can elect to wear a Guardian cap in actual games, not just preseason contests. So we'll see if that continues for Jonathan Taylor. The Guardian cap has been very successful in terms of its stats and figures of limiting head-to-head injury around the NFL. But in terms of the swag in the uniforms, not for Donnie right side. Yesterday, DRS, it was interesting on the Thursday Night Football broadcast to hear our guy, Al Michaels. He always loves to make the small innuendos about what the betting lines were. Dimitri Felton, under 2 minutes left, takes a 40-yard run up the gut, bounces outside and into the end zone. It was a game in which, as Al Michaels said, covering a lot of ground for Felton, because that play allowed Indianapolis to cover as a 6.5-point road favorite and the total to go over 34.5. In the second half, the Colts had four scoring drives on all four of their offensive possessions. Sam Ehlinger at the quarterback spot, Jason Bean, and Keaton Slovis. For most of the first half, it was Anthony Richardson. And if you are a Colts backer and you wanted to see AR in what is his de facto rookie season, only four games last year in his first year out of Florida, only completed two, had his rookie campaign in 2023 cut very short very early on after a shoulder injury. AR played in week number one for the Colts, only got two possessions against Denver, 2 of 4 for just 25 yards, both ending in a punt. Did not play week number two for Indianapolis against Arizona. So we learned that Steichen was going to play the starters. There were some reports out of joint practices against the Bengals that Cincy's defense was dominant against an out-of-sync Indianapolis offense that led to guys like Cam Taylor-Britt in the Bengals secondary trashing on Anthony Richardson. Early on, DRS, opening offensive possession of the game. AR leads the guys down the field, finds his rookie wide receiver, A.D. Mitchell, out of Texas for a touchdown. All right, here we go. Next offensive possession. Anthony Richardson, another completion, but to the Bengals. And it was returned for a pick six. A couple of other drives after that. Out of sync, sacks, losing the football in the backfield. What did you make of Anthony Richardson's performance last night in Cincinnati?
Not even watching preseason or not. Like, I'm not all that high on the Colts. I love their head coach. I think they have some talent here, but the question mark's going to come up on Anthony Richardson if he is that franchise guy. And it says, well, Donnie, watch it. I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with it. I think Jacksonville's better, and I think the Texans are better. So they're the third place team out of four teams in the South. But having said that, watching the game last night, everything that arises, those question marks that you had on Anthony Richardson, we got nothing Anthony. We know he's a specimen. We know he's an athletic freak. We know he can really ramp it up. And that first drive shows, like, wow, he's in sync with his wide receivers. Everything looks good. You come out and throw one of the worst pick sixes that you're going to see, almost reminiscent of, you know, sort of what Daniel Jones did for the New York Giants.
Yeah, a little bit.
Let me just throw it out there. A bad pass, walk into the end zone, 5 to 7 yard touchdown, interception return. And then the following plays where it's like, okay, I'm a little bit running around the pocket, not understanding where the players are at, strip sack, fumble. Now, they ended up getting that football back. But these question marks are going to pop up. This is what we were supposed to have answered last year during the regular season.
Right.
Make your mistake, play the entire season, let's have a full off season and reevaluate. He didn't get that here. So now we're having those questions right away. I still do think the Colts can have a solid season, but I just told you, to me right now, they are the third place team in the AFC South right now.
And that's where their odds stack up behind Jacksonville and Houston, the favorites. The Colts win total of 8.5 has juice on the under. I think it's one of the more compelling win totals in the NFL. If you look at last year, a 9-8 record when the win total was 6.5 for the rookie head coach in Shane Steichen, you should see improvement year over year. But it was Gardner Minshew that led the Colts to a winning record. Now it's Anthony Richardson in his de facto rookie season. More around the preseason and some trades yesterday in the NFL. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL preseason week 3 now underway. Our reactions from Thursday night in a doubleheader of contests. DRS, we talked about Anthony Richardson. You look overall at the stat line, 5 drives led by AR, 8 of 14, 86 passing yards. The good was the touchdown strike to A.D. Mitchell on the opening drive of the game for Indy. The bad was the pick 6 on the very next drive, and then an offense that frankly looked out of sync the next few possessions after. Again, Shane Steichen, year number 2. Anthony Richardson, technically year number two after a winning season last year. Just on paper, if you knew nothing about 2023 in the National Football League, you're like, all right, a winning record with a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback. Why aren't we discussing Indianapolis much like the Houston Texans with DeMeco Ryans and C.J. Stroud? Well, AR was hardly out there last year. Four games, only two completed games before a shoulder injury sidelined the rest of his rookie campaign, which makes the 8.5 win total for Indianapolis, in my opinion, one of the most compelling. If they can stay around that number, 8 wins, 9 wins, the AFC South becomes loaded. But if they regress kind of to what the number was entering Anthony Richardson's rookie year, which was just 6.5 in Indianapolis, the AFC South might be very top heavy.
Yes, and here's the problem that you're going to have with Indianapolis betting them on a week-to-week basis. Or let's just say game-to-game, we'll call it that. Yeah. You are going to see those splash plays. You're going to see that big arm, that unbelievable raw talent that Anthony Richardson has. And then you're going to see games where they're up 7 in the fourth quarter. It's like, how could you make that throw? The last thing you needed to do was throw that pass that just got intercepted. What a terrible pass, and now you're in peril to win the game and or cover the spread. That's the maddening thing. Mm-hmm. And also, if they took it at 8.5, right? You're saying to yourself, okay, 500 or better. That's basically what you're anticipating Indy to be. Because beyond my wildest dreams, if the Colts wind up with 12 wins to go 12-5, that would be absolutely incredible, and I've never seen that coming. It just feels like they are going to be a team teetering on 7-9 wins just depending on their quarterback, which means it's 50-50 the type of play you're going to get from Anthony Richardson. It's not his fault. Like, he came in raw. It wasn't as if, man, this kid was unbelievably polished in college football. Remember when Aaron Rodgers came in from Cal? It was like he was a robot in the pocket. Like, dude, this guy's got the technique down. You see that he's probably going to be a good one here, even though he did drop in the draft. But Anthony Richardson was like, boy, if you can harness that talent and somehow keep him a little bit under wraps, and if he gets it, he could be the ultimate weapon in the NFL. That's what's so tough, because us handicappers, we like obviously a sure thing. But when you go into the game and you say, okay, this is what I anticipate, you might get absolute extreme yes and extreme no with Richardson. That's what's going to be crazy to watch this year.
It's such a good point, DRS, because our conversations around Indy last year after selecting Anthony Richardson fourth overall in 2023 was the raw athletic freak that he is. 6'5", 245, ran the fastest 40 we have seen out of a quarterback in some time at the combine, had the highest vertical leap at the combine for a quarterback in history of the National Football League, but only one full year as a starter at Florida during college football and a completion percentage that was sub 54%. And it's almost like those conversations about his raw potential were disjointed last year because he only played in four games. And it's almost as though we forgot, but it's really the same conversations repeating themselves in 2024. I think if you're a Colts fan, you would rather a 6-11 year last year, but Anthony Richardson took his lumps, than a 9-8 team that still missed out on the playoffs with a quarterback that is no longer there. Another veteran backup in Indianapolis, by the way, did not play last night. That's Joe Flacco in the quarterback room for the Colts. A lot of backups last night in Kansas City. The Bears complete a perfect preseason, a perfect and unbeaten 4-0 record that included a victory in the Hall of Fame game, capping off last night 34-21 in Arrowhead over KC. The Bears win and cover as a 1.5 favorite, a total of 31 and a hook that worked its way down throughout the day, skies over inside Arrowhead.
Yeah, we thought we probably had the better quarterback matchups on the bench with the Chicago Bears versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Did it play out that way? Not necessarily, but sometimes you're trying to break in new players and do new things in the preseason. You take a look at Velus Jones Jr., 13 carries, 111 yards. Like, did they run him 13 times on reverses? Like, no, they're trying to crack this guy as a running back to try to use those quicks out of the backfield. And he certainly showed something. I like that. Try new things in the preseason. Break players in at different positions to see if they can work out and make an impact. Because the one thing you do know about Velus Jones, he's not cracking that starting lineup at the wide receiver position, but he does have some talent, and maybe you can use him out of the backfield.
The Chiefs put up some points this preseason, but end winless 0-3. The Bears on the other end, 4-0, scoring 34 points last night. Austin Reed, a touchdown pass in the backup battle for maybe QB number three in Chicago. Tyson Bagent, a rushing score on his first drive. He has solidified that backup spot behind Caleb Williams. More maneuvers around the National Football League next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I don't know how Howie Roseman continues to get away with it in Philadelphia's front office, but he certainly does. An in-division trade yesterday nearing the end of preseason and training camp between the Washington Commanders and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Birds acquiring Jahan Dotson, a former first-round draft pick by Washington back in 2022 at the wide receiver spot, in exchange for a third-round pick in 2025 and a couple of seventh-rounders as well. Dotson and a fifth-round selection make their way to the city of brotherly love. Now, Jahan Dotson, it had been reported, seemingly was on the outside looking in at a wide receiver room in Washington that he really wasn't fitting anymore, despite a relatively successful first few years in the National Football League without much great quarterbacking in Washington. Now he makes his way to Philadelphia. The Eagles get a guy with a ton of upside to be a wide receiver number three, not be that top guy. That's A.J. Brown, or even 1A. That's Devontae Smith. I think it's a fantastic move for the Birds, DRS. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Like, imagine, you go into Dallas, and I'm talking about Kellen Moore. You're the offensive coordinator. I thought he did a great job there. You go out to the West Coast. Things didn't work out. Herbert's injured. You sort of only, like, cast aside. And an NFL team calls you up, and you're going to call plays, which is going to be your offense, and you are going to line up with that wide receiving core, that offensive line, that quarterback, that tight end, and that running back. Like, you can't even pick a better pitch. Like, Jesus, like, hey, you know what? I got to rebuild this horrible franchise. This team is an absolute machine. Now, granted, is this going to equate to an easy win in the NFC for the, you know, division title? No. Is this going to be an easy route to the playoffs? No, it's not. There's a lot of question marks on the Philadelphia Eagles. But I do find this interesting. If there was one thing the Philadelphia Eagles knew they needed to upgrade that they took a little bit for granted, was that wide receiver three position, which is a huge position in the NFL. If you can have a guy that does damage out of the slot, your offense can become crazy out there, like hell on wheels. And the Eagles are like, okay, we'll try Paris Campbell. Maybe he's doing okay. He's getting injured here. Well, how about let's go to Britton Cove, you know, the punt returner who does have some quicks. Maybe that's not working out here. You get John Ross, who was a former number one blazer out there for the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. He never worked out in the NFL. You try to work him and he's injured. Johnny Wilson out of Florida State. So it feels like you're 2 weeks away from the season. This isn't going to work out. And to be able to pick up the phone in the division and get a former first-round draft pick. And we're not talking about, Ben, like, hey, 2016 first-round pick that hasn't worked out. Just a few years ago here, playing with subpar quarterbacks, now coming into an offense that, who are you going to cover? This is great because you look at A.J. Brown on one side, Devonta Smith on the other. And if you're that third wide receiver in the middle, you're getting nothing but one-on-one coverage to beat your man, as opposed to locking you up and saying, I'm going to put my best cornerback on you in the slot here. I thought it was a great move for the Eagles. Even if it doesn't work out, it's a chance that you had to take. And again, just looking at the skill position players in the NFL, the Eagles have the best skill position across the board. It used to be it was them and the Niners. That puts you over the top now as the best skill position team in the NFL.
I mean, look at what the offense has in store this year. Jalen Hurts at the quarterback spot, Saquon Barkley alongside as the running back. Dallas Goedert, fully healthy, one of the better tight ends in the National Football League. Then A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and now Jahan Dotson. Okay, why would Washington trade a guy they drafted in the first round if we think he's that stinking good? He was better in his rookie year, 12 games played, over 520 receiving yards, 7 receiving scores than his sophomore season, in which he played in all 17 for the Commanders, making 16 starts. But Donnie, as we started to say how we were optimistic about the Commanders and what they had offensively with new quarterback Jaden Daniels under new guidance of Cliff Kingsbury, in that conversation, it was Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, now with what we expect to be a reliable person at quarterback. And then reports came out of Commanders camp that Jahan Dotson was maybe not wide receiver two, that De'Ami Brown had higher upside. They love Luke McCaffrey, the younger brother of Christian, who they drafted out of Rice at the wide receiver spot in 2024. So Washington was willing to dispense of him even interdivision, I'm not sure why you would add on to an already good Eagles team. It's not like the Commanders and the Eagles are co-favorites or near the top of the market. It's the Eagles and the Cowboys, but still a perplexing move that I think greatly benefits Philadelphia. Elsewhere, DRS, yesterday, as we shared, and one more time, a moment for the headline, if we can, take me higher. You want to sing a little Creed? As we say that Creed Humphrey has signed a four-year, $78 million contract, or $72 million contract extension with the Chiefs, making him the highest-paid center in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, he should be, too, because you're looking to reward those young players. And when you're looking to say, you know, sometimes it's a wide receiver and a quarterback that you want to keep together, the offensive coordinator and the quarterback. What better than just to say, you know what, my quarterback and my center, who are at the top of their game and maybe the best in the NFL, they're going to be together for years and years and years right through their prime. It's a good move for Kansas City. You take care of your best players right before the season, so there's no worries about, boy, I wonder what my paycheck's going to be next year. If I get injured in the NFL, which is a topic which you can get injured at any time here, I love to see that. Reward your best players. Get those vibes high before the season starts. And away Kansas City as the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now, that's good news for them.
And again, Creed Humphrey, 3 years in the NFL, drafted out of Oklahoma in 2021, has been a Pro Bowler each of the past 2 years and finished third in the voting for Offensive Rookie of the Year back during his first season in the NFL in 2021. DRS, we brought you the news yesterday that Kirk Ferentz, the longtime head coach, the longest active tenured head coach in FBS college football, would be suspended for Iowa's season opener against Illinois State next Saturday for recruiting violations in transfer portal conversations of getting Cade McNamara, the transfer from Michigan, back in 2022. We got more details yesterday. A self-imposed suspension by Iowa Athletics. The violations happened back in 2022, and Kirk Ferentz will miss the first game of the year. Again, the first time in more than 9,000 days that the Iowa Hawkeyes will enter a football game without Kirk Ferentz as the head coach on the sideline, November 21st, 1998. Kirk Ferentz speaking with the media yesterday in Iowa City and taking full responsibility and accountability for making this mistake.
Now, let's understand this. Like, it's not just a current Ferentz thing. Everybody in college football is doing this.
For sure.
It's just a matter if you get caught. He ends up getting caught here. But my initial point is sometimes it's a little bit, you know, facetious and tongue-in-cheek here saying that I do support cheating. Obviously, we know what morals are and what you're supposed to be doing. But if you are in this day and age in professional sports, and yes, college football is now professional sports, you better be doing this. You want a job next year? You better be bending those rules and be that habitual line crosser that goes, you know what? Let me bat. What's the risk versus reward on this? If I get my quarterback in this one game, I might be able to stay here and get another extension for 5 more years. And also, the institution itself, like Iowa, do you think they're mad at this? Hey, Kirk, you know you can't do that. No big deal. You got your quarterback. Boosters love it. We're going to win more football games. We're going to make bowl games. Hey, we got to come out with a statement that says we don't approve of this, but slap on the back, kid. Get back at it after it. Can't wait to see you in game number two. Just the way it works now.
I don't know if Kirk Ferentz has been called a kid in a very long time, but
now.
I appreciate the sentiment.
He's energized.
Nonetheless. Yeah. But Donnie's right, because then you see what happens with Michigan. And I'm not going to compare Jim Harbaugh's response to recruiting violations to Kirk Ferentz, but Harbaugh hates the NCAA, misled investigators. That was the reason he was suspended 3 games last year. It has led to the NCAA looking deeply into Michigan and calling Michigan a program that continues to skirt the rules, a repeat offender. Iowa has said, hey, we made a mistake. We're owning up to it. It's case closed now for an NCAA organization that really does not have much disciplinary teeth when it comes to the new era of college football. Speaking of new eras, in a report with Sports Illustrated yesterday, former Colorado assistant Trevor Riley spent time in the Middle East during the holiday season this past year and spoke to Saudi Arabia's PIF, the Public Investment Fund, in hopes of securing NIL funding. Former Colorado assistant Trevor Riley resigning earlier in 2024, and as he said, reportedly acted on his own self-will. Donnie, we have to give you a moment to speak about this on the other side of the break.
Yes.
Before
yes.
we go around Major League Baseball from a
we
Thursday 10-game
slate.
Yeah, okay. 8 minutes of Donnie Wright's Sides Unfiltered Thoughts next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The college football season starts tomorrow for 2024. It is a new landscape. It is a new era. There are so many sweeping changes to this sport, and those are only going to continue in the years to come. We might have got a small peek at that with a report yesterday by Ross Dellinger, who works for Sports Illustrated, who had this to say, maybe Yahoo Sports, but regardless, a Sports Illustrated report on a former Colorado assistant, Trevor Riley, who spent time this past holiday season in the Middle East meeting with Saudi Arabia's, the governmental arm that sponsors things like LIV and Newcastle United, the public investment fund, in hopes of acquiring some big oil money for Colorado's NIL fund. Now, Trevor Riley no longer works for the Buffs. He resigned in early 2024, and in the report unequivocally stated that he acted on his own accord. This was not a mission on behalf of CU Athletics or even with the insight of Deion Sanders, if you want to believe that at this point. But Donnie, we said before the break we would have your unfiltered thoughts on this topic. What's your reaction to Colorado, or at least a former Colorado assistant in Trevor Riley, seeking out NIL funding from Saudi Arabia's PIF?
Like, it's funny for me sometimes because I think we have the notion and like the college football that most of us grew up with, where it was led to believe like, yes, the SEC is going to cheat. Yes, there's bag men dropping off $100,000 on somebody's front porch on signing day. We understand that. As long as there's no ties to it, it's just acceptable here. Everybody was getting paid back in the day, but it was more under the table, more and not as outlandish, I should say. Like, you know, rolling up into the players' parking lot and everybody's got a Bentley there. It's like, wait a second. I thought nobody was getting paid. Now you're allowed to roll up in a Bentley, and some guys from Colorado actually do roll up in Bentleys here during their practice time. But hear me out on this. You can't go back and have it one way now if you love college football where you wanted to see the kids get paid. Because I'm telling you right now, sooner than later, this is what's going to happen. In Colorado, they are so far ahead of the curve right now. Just bringing Deion Sanders into Colorado, we don't know how this is going to work out, Ben. He might be wonderful for that program or flame out this year and get fired and say, I have enough money. I don't need this anymore. I don't need all this, you know, nonsense here. My kids have graduated. I'm just going to retire and go back to, let's just say, being in the booth at this point. But hear me out what could take place. Let's just say if this does work and they go, okay, we got the Saudi funds here behind us. That means we can offer $2 million for every single recruit that comes on campus in cash the day they come here. And they were the first to secure that. So then Colorado will build a professional football team, and everybody else would hate that. But here's the best part about it. Most of the people were opposite me. I don't believe that the kids should actually be getting paid a ton of money. NIL for me always meant to be, which is what I thought it would be, maybe a select couple kids, once they get to college, prove themselves out there for 3 years, Toyota would come to them and put them on a Heisman commercial and pay them, let's just say, a couple $100,000. That's deserving of those players. But what NIL is turning into now is I'm just going to pay recruits for no name, image, or likeness. Just pay them. We don't even want anything in return. We don't even have to put them on commercials, have them show up at dealerships to sign autographs here. Here's $1 million. Thank you for coming to Texas A&M. So what's going to happen in the future here? If this does work out in their favor, again, college football players being paid millions of dollars just to show up. And sort of me says, you know what? I don't want to ruin college football. But at the same time, I'm actually looking forward to that year because sooner than later, college football teams will break away from their institutions. And you have the option. No. We're going to pay you $3 million. You don't even have to go to school. Just play for, quote unquote, Florida State football here. And in 2 years, you can go pro.
Listen, this is going to be the next few evolutions that we see in college football. Is it next year? Is it in the next 5 years, 15, 20? Who's to say? But I do agree with Donnie in part that it is already a semi-professional organization, and it has been for a very long time. Just everything that used to be in the dark shadows and taboo is now out in the open. College football is the main driving economic arm of collegiate athletics, of really colleges and universities around this country. Conference realignment does not happen because we are happy to see Oklahoma and Texas play in the SEC. or Washington thinks they want to win Big Ten titles. It happens because of the economics that is driven by TV revenue. And yes, men's and women's college basketball is big in parts. Yes, we see college baseball and college volleyball, and those have a huge say as well. But it pales in comparison to the revenue generated by college football. And that revenue is what is at stake here. Players want a say. Universities want a say. Coaching staffs and athletic departments want a say as well. The idea of amateurism, the facade the NCAA has put up for more than a century, is falling before our very eyes and will only continue to do so. So as I wear a shirt that says college football period on the eve of the 2024 college football season, my only charge to everybody is that in times of change, it can be difficult to wrap our heads around. Just know that the actual product on the football field is going to be a beautiful thing. And fall Saturdays is what we still enjoy despite all the craziness and the sweeping changes of the landscape that has happened off the field the past few summers and off seasons. And sadly, if you consider it that way, will continue to happen over the next few years.
No, and I agree with you, because this isn't taking any damper off of what I think college football can be in a couple years, but that purity of it for what it was meant to be. Because let's just take a look at college football 25, right, the game itself. Like, that to me is what NIL was supposed to be. Hey, kids, we're going to put you in the game. We're going to give you $600 cash and a copy of the game. Like, that was supposed to be okay for them there. And by the way, $600 back in the day for me as a college, I probably could have made that work for the entire year, and these guys are now getting that probably on a week-to-week basis with their NIL money. It's going to have a changing sport, and I'm okay with it. Because to me, I like really good football. And if you told me in 10 years, Ben, we'd only have 30 football teams in this major college division, they're all getting paid, I'm going to be okay with that because it's going to be quality football and we love college football the way it is. But the days of the past where it's like, hey, you know what? Handshake for $20, you got caught, you got to sit out two games. Those days are long gone. We are adapting to the times here, and it's going to get crazier and crazier as we go. But enjoy this. Expanded college football playoff. The Saudis aren't impacting college football right now. This is going to be an awesome season. We're ready for it. Let's go.
Yeah, right now, for sure. It is going to be an awesome season. The games you will see on the field, the unique product that is college football, with all the passion, excitement, and atmosphere that follows, either regionally, geographically, or nationally, it is going to be a great time. If you want something to find some solace in, it's college football period. We will get you ready for week zero and 2024 starting in hour number two and for the remainder of this Football Friday. But a few Major League Baseball recaps on the other side of the break. Donnie, sorry, we got to talk about the Phillies.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A 10-game slate on a Thursday around MLB. We recap for you rapid fire here, and I know Donnie doesn't want to talk about the game and probably doesn't have many thoughts on it because he's already just mad enough at the Philadelphia Phillies. But yesterday in the rubber match in Atlanta between the two divisional foes, the Braves win another low-scoring output in the ATL 3-2. It was a Matt Olson RBI double, an Adam Duvall solo shot, and the Phillies' inability to scratch across runs once again. Atlanta takes the rubber match. Atlanta takes the series with a 3-2 victory.
Yeah, here's the thing that gets me upset the most is sometimes if you say, hey, Phillies, you're out on the West Coast trip, you're playing the Diamondbacks, you're playing the Dodgers, like, I mean, formidable talent. And I'm not trying to knock Atlanta, but technically I am knocking them. This team stinks. Atlanta stinks right now. They have a couple good pitchers. Yes, they do. That lineup is horrendous. Like, AA and AAA teams would bang on Atlanta on a day-to-day basis and laugh at that roster because those minor league teams have more power than they do. And yet you find yourself watching a game with Adam Duvall can't get his way out of a paper bag. Came into the game like a 170 average, walks away with three base knocks, which include a home run. You've got to be kidding me. Meanwhile, players on the field, they got three hits. And I understand I proved this point too. Schwellenbach had a couple early starts that were questionable. He's been very good as of late. I get it. That doesn't mean three hits for the Philadelphia Phillies. You have hundreds of millions of dollars wrapped up in that Philadelphia Phillies healthy lineup, and they are struggling because they're saying to us as well, it's no real big deal. We just need to win one in Atlanta so they can't get too close here. Me as a Phillies fan, you are supposed to, and quite frankly, anybody's a baseball fan of a team that they have. a team that's your favorite team, that's in first place by, let's just say, 6, 7, or 8 games, you should be watching every night and the enjoyment should be there. I can't watch this baseball team. There is no enjoyment right now out of the Philadelphia Phillies, because what do you tune into? I don't care if it's football, NBA, baseball, or hockey. I want to watch my superstars do damage here. And none of the Philly superstars do any damage for weeks on end. Where is the fun here? The Phillies, yes, will probably end up winning the division and get to the playoffs. But where is the enjoyment here? There is none. This team is a dead man walking right now, and they're still going to win the division because the Braves are a triple-A team, and who knows where the Mets are going to finish. So I know I'm ranting and not talking about the game itself, but just from a Philadelphia Phillies standpoint, this team is boring and unlikable right now. It shouldn't be that way.
The Braves were a slight home favorite. Spencer Schwellenbach out of Nebraska has been pretty good as of late. His lowest ERA now this year after 6 2/3, only allowing those 3 base knocks and 2 earned runs, striking out 9 against Philly. Now a 3.94 ERA and a 5-6 record. Only 5 runs scored yesterday. It was the most we had seen in this series. 4 runs, 5 runs, 5 runs in the 3 games. So a total of 8 stays under the Phils. 12-19 since the All-Star break. A rubber match in the Bronx as well. The Yankees blanked the Guardians for a 6-0 win. Let's start with the blanking. Gerrit Cole, 6 innings of work, a shutout, and only 1 hit allowed. Did have 5 walks and only 2 strikeouts, but still no runs scored against him and only 1 hit. Gerrit Cole has now started back-to-back games for the Yanks that have ended in a shutout. Only 3 earned runs for Gerrit Cole allowed in his 4 starts in August. Now let's get to the offense for the Yankees. Aaron Judge, his 48th home run of this year, his 6th long ball in the last 7 games. Austin Wells, an RBI, as Donnie alluded to yesterday, and Giancarlo Stanton, a 3-run home run in the 5th. That was really the icing on the cake. The Yanks win the rubber match and take the series against the Cleveland Guardians to better position them atop the American League East, atop all of the American League.
Let's start with Aaron Judge. You're not supposed to be doing this in this day and age. And when I say this day and age, I just mean, like, let's just say last 10 to 15 years, where the power hitter that hits a lot of home runs, you go, man, 225, that's a pretty good average for that guy because he swings from his heels every single time at the plate. He's hitting 334. He has 48 home runs. He has 118 RBI. This is one of the more, and again, coming off an MVP season, you now look at Aaron Judge and say, he's even better now than he was in his MVP. Like, it's unbelievable to think about. And also, 334 is like, hey, you know what? That's top 20 in the American League. He's number 2 in the American League in batting average.
Yeah.
So you mean when you are pitching to Aaron Judge, you're sort of trying to pitch around him because of the damage he does, and still he's going to clock in probably 60 home runs, hit 325 or higher, and they have 150 RBI. Don't you remember just the way they were trying to go over the contract situation? Like, ooh, we don't know if he's worth that much. Holy moly, is that guy worth every penny at this point? And it's good that they don't do this in Major League Baseball. Knock, 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 Mr. Owner Steinbrenners. I want more money now, and they probably would have to give it to him. But thank goodness they don't sit out in Major League Baseball.
Some great stats from our stat man and producer, Joe Friezo. The MLB League average OPS is 713. Aaron Judge's slugging percentage alone is a 726. Hour 2 is here on the other side of the break on the Early Line up next.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.